다고.
거는 가사 겨우. 거는 거는 무슨 말해 아닌데. 거는 바꿈에 아마 도름. 거는 무슨 말해 아닌데. 거는 바꿈에 아마 도름. 거는 아마 도름. 거는 아닌데. 거는 아마 도름. 거는 아닌데. 거는.
Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY. I'm John Pierce, and along with Elizabeth Parcells today on the board. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your good work that's coming up. Tonight's subject is a school that has been created in Ghana, and we have two young ladies who are from the United States. They're extremely interested in helping out in other parts of the world. They are Jordan Robbins and Lila Thompson. We're going to speak with them about this project in Africa, which I find to be fascinating. Let me tell you how I met Jordan. Jordan, this was an interesting story, isn't it?
Yes.
We were classmates. Yes, there's a big difference in age, but I was sitting in on a course called Sub-Saharan Africa, mm-hmm. and it was a history course at Muhlenberg College. Jordan is a sophomore at Muhlenberg. And in this course, we should give a shout-out to Professor
Kim Gallen.
Woo. Hope she's listening out there, because she put us together. She was the matchmaker. And what interested me was that during the course, when the students would speak about their interests, Jordan came up, and she was a freshman at the time, and came up with this business about how she was helping with a school in Africa. And so I never would have thought to bring a college freshman or sophomore on the air, usually, because you don't have a kind of an interesting subject like this. So I was fascinated. She has a strong love for Ghana and what you're going to hear about today, the Heritage Academy. And this started off for you, Jordan, in your senior year of high school.
Yes.
How did that start for you?
So I went to a school called Westtown School, a boarding school in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And the seniors are given opportunity in the spring to take some time off and basically travel the world or get an internship for a month. And some of the schools are offered by school-sponsored trips. And this trip to Ghana was started by a teacher at my high school, Kwesi Kumsen, and he offered a school-sponsored trip. And I was part of that trip.
And that was the beginning.
And that's when the love was born.
That's a wonderful story. You've been to Heritage Academy in Ghana three times.
Yes.
And looking forward to more in the future, but it's not clear at this point when that will be.
Most likely this coming summer. It's my next
summer trip. Of 2014.
Yes.
To celebrate what?
The 10th anniversary of Heritage Academy. Yay!
Jordan is also interested in theater. I would say in travel all over the world, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have something coming up that's not in Africa.
Right. I'm planning a trip to Honduras over winter break and then planning my study abroad in Argentina for next spring.
She's into Spanish as well.
Yes, yes.
And what's the language that's spoken in Ghana?
In our region, we speak Fanti, but the national language is actually English. Because Ghana was conquered by England. But there are different dialects in different regions. And in the region that our school is in, they speak a language called Fanti.
And so you and Lila are both Fanti experts.
I would say Jordan's a little better than I am. She's very apt at the language.
But
it's true.
Pretty good, yeah.
And your interest in Spanish also.
Yes, yes.
And Lila, do you have other language interests besides Fanti?
Yeah, I speak fluent Spanish, actually. So
it's, muy bien, it's, señorita.
Yeah, está muy bien.
So let's talk a little bit about Lila and where she's coming from. Lila is a recent graduate of Franklin and Marshall College, in fact, in English, Spanish, and International Studies. Previously served as a fellow for human rights and social justice at the Ware Institute for Civic Engagement at Franklin and Marshall College. And the college is located where?
Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Does she pronounce Lancaster well?
I do.
She's had
some
practice.
It's not Lancaster. It's Lancaster.
While at FNM, Lila was active in working with refugees and immigrants through awareness efforts, volunteer coordination, and fundraising in the Lancaster community and through the Lancaster County Refugee Coalition. That's a big title.
Yeah.
So, Lila, what brought you to the interest in things and people foreign?
Yeah, so I've always traveled a lot when I was younger, and I actually grew up in Mexico for a couple of years while my dad was doing a Fulbright there. And so how I got interested in Ghana was Kwesi Kumson, the one who started the school, was actually a graduate of Franklin and Marshall class of 97. And so he came to speak to the Ware Institute about how we could potentially get involved with the school. And so in my first year working there after I graduated, Kwesi and I collaborated on creating a trip for our students at Franklin and Marshall to go to Ghana over winter break. And so in our first year, we had 12 students, and we've continued to have students for the last 2 years, and we'll be taking our third trip this winter, which is very exciting. And so I'll be leading that trip again with another colleague, Rachel Helwig. And so this will be my third time leading, and it's very exciting. Our students love it, and we're just creating a large community of people at Franklin and Marshall College who are really passionate about working with the school. And we also have a couple of Westtown graduates where Jordan went to school at Franklin and Marshall who have been really involved as well. So that's been fantastic.
So it's that high school and F&M that have been the crucible for this whole activity over
yeah,
in Ghana.
Yeah, and Muhlenberg came last year. Jordan led a trip last winter with some Muhlenberg students also. So we're hoping that that's a greater partner in the future as well.
Yeah.
Terrific. Here is a little information about the Heritage Academy, because we've mentioned that. It's in Ghana. Kwesi Kumson, who currently teaches at the Westtown School near Westchester, that's your high school.
Yes.
Right? Founded the Heritage Academy in 2004. So you have your 10-year anniversary coming up very soon. He returned to his home village in Ghana to start a small school in a church with 32 students. After his success, Kwesi wanted to give back to his community and overcome the severely underfunded Ghanaian public school system. The Heritage Academy takes a unique approach to education, focusing on seven core principles: knowledge, integrity, discipline, respect, responsibility, simplicity, and hard work. Sounds as if like something we should all be doing.
Absolutely.
It?
Yeah. The kids are really into it. They all know the seven pillars, and mm-hmm. it's the job of the older students to teach the younger students what the seven pillars are. And it comes into play in everything that they do and after school projects that they do and all of the academic work that they do.
Absolutely.
It's very integrated.
Absolutely.
Graduates who embody these principles not only boast higher test scores on the national exams, but they're better equipped to carve their own path as creative thinkers. I like that terminology.
Mm-hmm.
The Heritage Academy has experienced major success. In 2011, enrollment had grown to over 1,000 students. So from a small beginning of 32 students in a church, it blossoms into more than 1,000 students.
Right.
Now.
So we have about 1,200 students over two campuses now. So we're out of the church and we have two separate campuses and over 1,200 students.
Describe to us a little bit what we would see if we went to the village. The village is called?
SCM. Well, it sort of borders two villages. So the primary village is SCM, but there are a couple other places where students are coming from as well. Mm-hmm. So the community is great. I would say Ghanaians are the friendliest people I've ever met in my life.
Absolutely the friendliest people you'll ever meet.
And everyone's just really welcoming, wants to know who you are, where you're from, what you do, what you like, what food you like to eat. Everyone wants to share with you different types of food. I mean, we get fed everywhere we go. And the campus is really beautiful. It's sort of like a diamond in the rough in this sort different environment than I think that a lot of our students, when we take students from Muhlenberg and F&M, they're not really used to seeing the sort of pristine school in between these two villages. And sort of in this plot by itself, not really near, I mean, you can walk to and from the villages from there, and everybody does, but it's sort of a land of its own. I don't even know.
How far would it be from one village or from the other village to the school?
From the house that we stay in the village that we're in, is about a mile walk.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say SCM is like 2.5.
From SCM is about 2 miles, 2.5 miles.
Okay, yeah. Right there is a shock for U.S. college students to walk a mile.
Yeah, right. And they have to.
And our our high school students usually walk to school. Mm-hmm. A lot of the elementary and middle school students will take a taxi or a tro-tro. A lot of them will walk.
There is a school bus.
And we do have a school bus.
Take a taxi or a what?
A tro-tro. It's it's like a bigger taxi.
It's like a van.
It's a van. Yeah. And it can fit probably like 12 to 15 people.
It's usually fits more than that, but it's not definitely not supposed
to. It's
But the children have enough money to take a taxi.
Yeah, a taxi ride will probably be about 50 pesos, which is equivalent to probably like 20 cents.
But the school does provide transportation for students, which is actually something that we've been talking to Kwesi a lot about, because we had this bus come in from China, and that's the bus that we've been using for a while, and it just recently broke down. So we're working on getting a new bus that can actually transport all of the students in a timely fashion, because if you don't have enough transportation for the students, a lot of them are arriving late and then they miss subject matter. So it doesn't happen that often, but that is something that the school is working on, getting efficient and quick transportation for all of its students.
But you're saying many of the students do walk.
Yes, many.
Many. Some of them walk up to 2 hours to get to school.
Yes.
They really do value their education. And I think that, I mean, more so than I've seen students maybe in the communities that I've worked in the United States, students are really anxious to get to school. They want to learn, and there's a lot going for the school. I mean, it's not just the academic environment that's very valuable to them. It's the community that's built there and
right.
the different style of education that's built there, which isn't the same as the neighboring schools.
Because it is a community. It's not just a school to them. It's their family. It's their home. And that's what it is to anybody that goes there, anybody that works there. It's more than a school.
Yeah, for sure.
What are the ages of the children, from low to high ages?
Yeah, pre-K to 12th grade. Pre-K we got them all. Yeah, so I think what one of the things that Kwesi loves is that we have the pre-K students, and maybe they're learning very simple things. You know, it's pre-K. You don't learn too much in pre-K. But if you start the value of education at such an early age,
exactly.
The students really value it as they go along. And so we have, once the students finish their ninth grade exams, they go into high school. If you don't pass your ninth grade national exam, you don't go to high school. And so the Heritage Academy has 100% pass rate, which wasn't the case when Kwesi started the school in the district. The district had, I think it was under a 40% pass rate.
Yep.
And now his school has 100% pass rate in their district. Yep. So that's just, I mean, that's whenever I tell anybody that, they're like, wow.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's amazing. Really? And so when the students graduate from the ninth grade, they can go to high school. And so originally the school was designed just to have students graduate from the ninth grade and then go to other high schools, not to go to Heritage Academy. But Kwesi found that a lot of students didn't know where they wanted to go or didn't want to leave their community, and so he opened a high school. And so now we have 11th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
This Kwesi is a go-getter.
He really is.
Definitely
no
a go-getter.
I swear he never sleeps.
And he doesn't.
Except
and
for in tro-tros.
Right. If he thinks about something that he wants, his line is, there's a way and I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Like that is, he always says it.
And
I think his thesis in grad school was building the Heritage Academy, making mm-hmm. it into a school. And so he thought, wow, that's actually a really good idea. Like, I should just go do that. And then
did he come up with the title Heritage Academy?
I don't know. I believe
he did. I don't know where.
But he is the founder.
Yes.
And there's a headmaster at the school who is a friend of his and is also the local pastor at the church. And so his name is D. Graft, and he is amazing. I mean, the kids just worship him. Yeah. And he has been leading the school since it opened for the last 10 years. So he and Kwesi are, you know, two peas in a pod, and they work together on everything. They talk every single day when Kwesi's in the United States, because he does live in the U.S. So running a school from the U.S. while he's not in Ghana is difficult, but he makes it work by having really good partnerships with people on the ground at the school, all, you know, friends of his when he was little, or people, local people from the community. So it's great.
Has Kwesi ever talked to you about wanting to go back and live in Ghana as opposed to the Philadelphia area?
Yeah, actually. Kwesi is planning on spending some more time there this coming spring.
On sabbatical.
So he's going to be there for the spring, which we're very excited about. But Kwesi's become like my second father. So That's going to be hard, but, so but he'll be there.
He has a foot on both continents.
Yes, absolutely. He's always there during the summers, so he makes sure that he spends his summers there when he's not teaching. And then, yeah, next semester he'll be spending some time there. But he's married to a lovely, lovely woman who lives in Westchester also. So, you know, trying to juggle being there and also being in the U.S., is, I'm sure, very challenging, but he has his foot in both places for sure.
Absolutely.
We're chatting this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse with two women who are very active in a school in Ghana, which is having phenomenal success with children. We're chatting with Jordan Robbins of Muhlenberg College and Lila Thompson, recently of F&M. Lila, you are now applying to law schools.
Yes.
Shall we pray?
We shall, yes.
And do you want to say which schools you're particularly interested in?
I'm trying to stick around in the Philadelphia region. So I get my LSAT scores back in less than 10 days, 8 days. And once I get those, it'll really tell me a lot about where I can go. But I think I want to stick around and go to Temple. Temple does a lot of really great work with immigration and human rights, which is what I'm looking forward to doing. So it's an exciting time.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
I want to mention a movie that I saw in Philadelphia along with Jordan. Lila, were you there?
I was there. Mm-hmm. I was there, yes.
I just hadn't met you at that point. The movie is called Rise and Shine, and we're going to do that after we take a break. We're chatting about Africa this evening, and it's particularly about Ghana. And what's the adjective for Ghana?
Friendly. I don't know.
Ghanaian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an adjective.
What I was
also
digging for.
I didn't know we were going for.
But I love the fact that you said friendly.
That's the first thing you think of.
That's what I think of. People are so nice.
You can sense the enthusiasm of Jordan and Lila when they talk about Ghana and the school called
Heritage Academy, yeah.
There's actually, I haven't had a chance to visit the other campus, but there are two campuses in Ghana that we work with. So we predominantly work with the Heritage Academy, but Jordan has also visited the other camp, which is a bit smaller, called Achesu. Do you want to talk about that maybe?
We will talk about that after our break.
Yeah,
we have
good.
To Absolutely. Take just a minute off. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Join us for Winter Blast 2014. WDIY's annual party is happening Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets are available at wdiy.org. Winter Blast tickets include complimentary food, drinks, and the live rockin' sounds of the Doughboys. Go to wdiy.org and get your tickets today.
And we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse, speaking about Ghana and that African country, and particularly a school that actually there are two schools now. Is that right?
Yes.
Jordan? So explain to us about the one we've talked about, Heritage Academy.
Yes. So like John said, we've spoken about Heritage Academy in SEM. But I have gotten the great joy of going to visit Achesu, Heritage Academy at Achesu, which is another school in a more rural area of Ghana. Pretty close, but because the road paving situation in Ghana is leaves a little bit to be desired, it takes about 40 minutes to get there.
How are you traveling?
We're traveling by our school bus, or what was before it broke down. Yeah. And that's how we usually get there, in big groups.
So it's a very bumpy ride?
It's a very bumpy ride. Okay. But it's so worth it to go there because at in our SEM campus, you see all of the kids who live in definitely a rural area of Ghana, but they have definitely more around them. In Achesu, it's pretty much roads with grass and then Achesu and then more roads with grass. So it's pretty much the middle of nowhere. And like Kwesi always calls it, Kwesi always says, it's the bush. Like when someone says the bush of Africa, like it's the bush. So, but it is, it's an amazing opportunity because the kids there, just because they're in a more rural and closed off sort of section of Ghana, they are just as passionate about their education and they're learning more. The schools, that campus is newer. And we're still figuring out kinks with that campus and figuring out how we can change it and make it grow.
How many years has that been going in Achesu?
Oh, that's a great question. I want to say maybe 5 or 6.
I was going to say five.
So fairly new.
And what was the impetus for beginning yet another campus?
We kept getting students. So we...
And they lived a little bit too far to go to the...
It was that semi. And... yeah, it was definitely a proximity issue, but it was also that our campus at SEM just couldn't hold that many more students, so we had to expand.
The word spread, and people were enthusiastic, and they wanted something
Absolutely.
Closer to where they live.
Absolutely.
What do the how do the families of the children in the school make their living?
We actually this. Or 2 summers ago when I was there, we did a survey for all of the kids to fill out to talk about that sort of stuff. And I was reading through most of them, and a lot of them are what's called a laborer. So they'll set up on the sides of roads and villages and sell things out of, you know, little stands, I guess. Things like plantains and stuff that you can grow or I know... The little girl that I sponsor, her mom sells secondhand clothing out of one of the stands.
Yeah, the jobs vary. I would say a lot of people are into agriculture. But then I also was working with a girl this past winter, and her mom was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then her father did a lot of work with, like, herbal remedies and sort of more Chinese medicine type mm-hmm. Stuff. So, you know, it's interesting to see the range of what people's parents do. And I think that the kids, because it's such a community, I know going to school, I grew up in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. So, you know, you always know what everybody's parents do and you know where everybody lives and you mm-hmm. know where everybody comes from. And this is not, there's no judgment around where people come from or what their parents do or anything like that. It's a big community and everybody supports each other. And I think that's one of the things that's really special about the community of the school. And that what causes it to keep expanding and expanding. I mean, Achesu expanding was definitely a proximity and also a need for more room, but Heritage is expanding every day. I mean, it used to be one building and now it's multiple buildings. Mm-hmm. And so it's this, I mean, when you walk onto the campus, it's this beautiful blue building with a ramp that goes up to the second story. So it's 2-story building for the high school and the junior high school. There's a pre-K building. In the 9th grade, the students board at the school. So there's room for them to sleep so that they can be really engaged in their education before passing the national exams in the 9th grade. So it's a big campus. And I think it's just going to keep growing.
It's not a boarding school? They go home at night?
It's not a boarding school, except for in 9th grade when they're preparing for their national exams. In the months before their exams, we do have them sleep on campus so that they can have one class before the rest of the kids come to school, and they have a couple classes after dinner.
And on Saturdays,
so
yeah.
You have to have a dormitory.
We're working on it.
We're working on it, yeah. We're working on it.
Where are they sleeping now?
We actually, in one of our buildings, there are a bunch of empty rooms that they set up shop there for a couple months. And yeah, they can go home on the weekends if they want. Mm-hmm.
The school also has a clinic, a school clinic, and a library. So it's got a lot of different fun things going on. It's You should see the library. You go in there. One of our after-school projects when I take my students from FNM is to organize the library. So we would organize it. It would be great. And then the next day we'd come in and books would just be everywhere because students just go in and read all the time. Before they get to school, they read. When they are after school, they read. During their breaks, they read. During reading periods, they read. I mean, it's all the time. And kids constantly searching for knowledge.
Well, wonderful. And they're not in the habit of putting this book back on the shelf.
Working on it.
Yeah, we're working on it.
If you're not brought up with that habit and you're not thinking, when I think library, automatically I think order. You know, and the librarian is not going to put up with this.
Oh, there's no. Well, they've actually, Kwesi has designated, or DGRAFT has designated certain students as the sort of librarian. So now students are in charge of monitoring the library. We have different students that have different tasks. So to signal the end of classes, there's a student who's designated to sound the drum. So it's like boom, boom, boom. But and there's someone who has a bell who goes through on the junior high school and the high school level to let everyone know that this period is over and the next class is about to start. And so everyone has different tasks like that. There's prefects and there's the students who do the drums. There's the librarians, that's students who help out with the clinic. There's students who are in charge of cleaning and sweeping. And there's a bunch of different tasks for every student on the campus. So everyone really feels responsible for the school.
No wonder they feel as if it's a community and not just going to school.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wow. Yeah, there's a job for everybody, and they're happy to do it.
Yeah.
And speaking of bells and drums, Lila, thank you for providing our Ghanaian music to us today. As we enjoy having that wrap around our interview here, we're talking about Heritage Academy in Ghana, in Africa. Talk to us a little bit about the position of Ghana in Africa. To the south is the ocean. Gulf of
The Atlantic Ocean.
It's the Atlantic Ocean to the south. Right.
I saw Gulf of Guinea.
Oh, is it?
On the map.
I believe it's the Atlantic.
Maybe that's an old one.
It's the Atlantic Ocean.
And then what are the countries right surrounding Ghana?
Ivory Coast.
The Ivory Coast, and then Togo's right next to it also.
Uh-huh.
What's above? I don't know.
Burkina Faso?
Burkina Faso.
Those are the ones.
Surrounding. And those are all French-speaking countries. So all of our students actually learn English, French, and Fonti. They have classes in all three languages. So,
That's part of their core subjects for the national exam. So in addition to learning those, they also learn. One of the most fascinating things that I found out is that they learn computer science.
Yeah.
But most of them have never used a computer before.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're learning, you know, Command C is, you know, copy and stuff like that. But they've never seen a computer before. And so one of the things, the school just got electricity this past year. And so one of the things that our FNM students are working on and our school is working on as a whole is seeing if we can take donated computers over there so the students can start working on them.
So they have absolutely no computers at the school?
No computers at the school.
And not at home, so they have never...
Some at home.
Some at home, but not really. And there are some computers in town that the students can use. Some of them use their cell phones as computers. Or
I was going to ask next about cell phones. Are they prevalent?
Cell phones are becoming a problem for us. The kids like to, especially when our American volunteers are around, the kids like to pull out their cell phones to show, oh, look, I have a cell phone. So it's becoming an issue, actually.
Yeah, I would say, you know, maybe one-fourth of the students have cell phones.
Yeah.
It's not overwhelming, but they're very interested in technology and sort of how that plays a role in education too. I think that will be something that will be up and coming at the school.
And if they're looking at a little screen and seeing word, they're likely to be seeing English.
Yes.
There,
yes.
And not French.
Right. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not Fonti. Is Fonti a written language as well as spoken?
I don't know, because the students all have different ways of spelling things in Fonti. So I don't think that they learn it as a written language, but they all speak it. So it probably is a written language, but
I don't think...
No, it is. It is. They all sort of spell things differently.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we were to roam the corridors of the school and hear them chatting with each other, would it be in Fonti?
It would be sort of a... mix between Fonti and English, probably. When we come around, they some kids actually get mad at the other kids that are speaking Fonti when we're there because they're like English only when you know Madame's around, like when Jordan's around.
Yeah. Is there a rule at the school that they should be speaking
in
only
class.
English?
In class, they should be speaking only English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it says it on all the classrooms. They have blackboards and it has like the rules of what the kids should abide by. And it says, number one, English only. So right. The students are encouraged to always speak English in class. And some students are very good at English and some students struggle a little bit because it either is spoken in the home or it's not. And most of the families speak Fonti to their children and, mm-hmm. and to their siblings and things like that. But it is taught at the school. But you can tell, I mean, we have some students who come in after the ninth grade. So most of the students come in early, so in junior high or in elementary school, and then they go all the way to ninth grade and pass the national exam. Some of them stay and some of them leave to go to other schools. But some students are coming in after ninth grade from other campuses. They've gone to high school somewhere else, or they've gone to junior high school somewhere else, and then once they finish their national exams, they come to the school. And there's a big difference between the students who have been at Heritage the whole time and the students who are coming in for the first time in the 10th grade. They're not as they don't understand really the seven pillars, and that's something that they definitely have to learn. Not all of them speak English as well, I will say. And it's sort of a different environment, and they have to acclimate to the Heritage environment because it is, I mean, we've talked about it being a community a lot, but it's true. If you are sort of unfamiliar with the community that is a school, how would you know how to acclimate to that? And so the students really do need to learn what is our community, how do we function within this community, how can we give back and things like that. So it's a learning curve, I think, for new students.
And to be clear about the term Heritage Academy, that is the name of the school at both campuses.
Yes.
But you tend to say
Ochesu.
If that is the secondary campus, so to speak, the one that came along after
yes.
the first one.
Yes.
And most of our volunteers who go from the United States go to and work at the primary Heritage Academy, the larger school. And so it's sort of a rare treat to go visit Ochesu, which I still haven't gotten to do yet. I'm looking forward to doing it this winter.
You have that in your future.
Yeah.
We're chatting this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse about Ghana and about a very special school called Heritage Academy. Jordan Robbins and Lila Thompson are here with me. I'm John Pierce. Good to have you along with us on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Thank you.
Jordan, I'd like to ask you to tell us about a little girl named Fauzia. Is that the right pronunciation?
It is, actually. I'm impressed that you got that right, actually. So Fauzia is a little girl that I met during my second trip to Ghana. She is currently in her seventh grade year, and she and I kind of hit it off during my summer trip. She was in summer school, and I was teaching English at that point in my time at Heritage. And we met and clicked, and I decided that I wanted to sponsor her education. So basically what it is I pay $100 a year for Fauzia to go to school and for her school supplies and things like that. The tuition for the school is actually only $75, but the extra $25 that I put in goes toward sort of like the communication between us. So she can write me letters and be able to send them internationally, and so I can do the same. And so she's she's doing well. She gets food at school because of the money that I am sponsoring for her.
How old is she?
She's actually 12 at this point. So,
can you identify what drew you to her as opposed to some of the other students? Was there something special?
Yeah, Fauzia reminded me a lot of me when I was her age. So, you know, she.
A rebellious young girl.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm
That's
hearing
the
here?
First thing you think when you look at me. No.
Theatrical.
Yes. No, she was, she's shy, but when you get to know her, she is just a diva. And she's been through a lot, but she's resilient.
Do the children at the school in Ghana come from very large families? Is it typical that many children? Or?
Yeah, it changes. Fauzia actually lives in her. I actually got the honor of going over to her house at one point, and she lives in a two-room house with her great-grandmother, her grandmother, her mother, and her two sisters. So that's sort of
four generations.
That's pretty common.
That's pretty common.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very like familiar, and it's like the everyone says, you know, oh well, how are the women and the men relations there? Well, at the school in particular, we were finding that a lot of boys were coming to school and a lot of girls weren't, because if the parents had to choose which child they were going to educate, they were choosing the male children. Mm-hmm. And so when Kwesi sort of realized that that was going on, he made a lot of more opportunities for the girls to be able to school. And so they do go to school. So they do a lot of, you know, female empowerment things and encourage the girls to get involved in sports and different aspects of the school, not just their academics. And there are scholarships provided to girls at the school who want to be able to go and wouldn't be able to if they didn't receive that scholarship. So that's something huge. And also Ghana is matriarchal. So their whole lineage is a matriarchal system as opposed to a patriarchal, which I think is really fascinating too.
Right. We're going to speak, we're going to take a break in just a minute, and then we're going to talk about school day, what that shakes out into. If we were to go and follow and shadow a student around one of the days, what would that look like? So we're talking about the Heritage Academy, which is in Ghana, with Jordan Robbins and Lila Thompson, and we will be back in 60 seconds.
Join us for our Winter Blast 2014. WDIY's annual party is happening Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets are available at WDIY.org. Winter Blast tickets include complimentary food, drinks, and the live rockin' sounds of the Doughboys. Go to WDIY.org and get your tickets today.
It's Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we're back with our guests, Jordan Robbins and Lila Thompson, who are very active in a school in Ghana for preschool through high school, yes. Right? And Elizabeth Parcells is on the board for us this evening. Thank you, Elizabeth. Oh, two thumbs up that time. She thinks she's Siskel and Ebert. We're talking about the students' school day. Let's just take a stab at it. First of all, the very youngest students would be 3 years old?
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three or four, and that's all right with their families for them to go off?
Oh, yeah,
and
it's like daycare. Get these kids into school. the kids really like it. That's actually one of my favorite things to watch is what the preschoolers do, and they're really smart. I mean, I was not that smart in preschool.
They're so cute.
These kids are so cute. And they do, you know, I have this really adorable video of, I think it's like 3 and 4 year olds all holding hands in a circle with their teachers, running around singing this really cute song and learning the body parts and
doing everything in English.
Yeah, everything in English. Mm-hmm. And it's just adorable. They're adorable. And they love it.
Right. And do the preschoolers go for all day?
They're there all day.
Yeah, they're there.
And speaking of all day, that means that they have lunch has to be provided for mm-hmm. the students.
Right. So
how does that happen?
We actually, it's funny. One of our teachers named Ebenezer goes around, I guess, every month and collects, or every week and collects fees for food. And we do. We have some local women that come to Heritage and cook all morning for the students, and then if their dues are paid, or mostly even if their dues aren't paid, they bring a bowl.
How are you
going to
turn down a child, right?
Right. Yeah, so they bring a bowl and gets full food, and they all eat.
Is there a certain – is it what we would think of as a cafeteria, or is it there's a room where they just make space on tables? And
no,
it's all outside.
Yeah, how it works is that there's this building, and they have these giant sort of –
fire
pots, like
pots.
These. Yeah. I don't even know what they're called. These giant iron pots, basically over top of fire, and they'll cook rice and they'll cook fufu and a bunch of different food items. And then the students, there's one student from each classroom who will come down and get a huge serving of it, and then they'll distribute it to their classmates in bowls. And so everyone brings their own bowl and a spoon, and they serve it that way. And so they'll have one person from each classroom come and get the food, and that makes lunch take, you know, an hour, 2 hours sometimes. And so one of the things that we're working on right now is how to revamp the lunch program. Mm-hmm. How can we do it so that it's more efficient in terms of time? Should we stagger lunches? Should we not? What to do about that? And also make the serving of the food more efficient. So having all of the kids leave their bowls at school so we can make sure that they're washed well and things like that. So that's something that we're working on right now.
Because what's happening now is the children all take their bowls home.
Yeah, or they'll leave them in their bags or something like that. And the thing is that it's a very close-knit campus. And so if one kid gets sick, all kids get sick, you know. And so that's something that we are constantly thinking about. What are the best? And we have hand-washing stations and we have bowl-washing stations and mm-hmm. things like that. But that always has to be in your mind. You know, what is the best way to keep the entire campus healthy? And we have a clinic and things like that. And the kids are being educated on sanitation and healthy habits and stuff like that.
Is there a nurse on hand?
Mm-hmm. We actually have two nurses at this point on campus, and the kids love to be in the clinic because they love the nurses.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be in class? Come on, let's let's be honest about this.
Oh, during their free time, they hang out in the clinic.
Yeah. We actually had a nurse from Franklin and Marshall College go down, not last summer, but the summer before, mm-hmm. and she trained one of the nurses at the school. And the Joyce is the first nurse mm-hmm. that we had. She's just the sweetest woman in the world. And so they've become really close. And so every time our students go down from Franklin and Marshall, we bring a big bag that the nurse from Franklin and Marshall, Linda Grant Silva, has given to give to Joyce. And so they talk on the phone sometimes. They email back and forth sometimes. They keep in touch. And any questions that Joyce has, she calls Linda and asks her, you know, what about this? And I don't know about this. And we're working on getting Joyce to go back to school for nursing, too.
Wonderful.
So that's really exciting.
Do the children wear uniforms?
They do. Actually a great story. We have uniforms for every day of the week, and on certain days they wear certain uniforms. And on Fridays they wear batik uniforms out of the batik fabric, so it has a print on it. And I actually got a tattoo of the print that is on their Friday uniforms, because it's my whole life. It's my whole world. So
yeah, the uniforms on Friday are so sweet. They're like these blue dresses, or the boys wear blue shirts and with white flowers on them, and they mm-hmm. have the Heritage Academy sort of logo on it. So all the students match on Fridays, and then the other days of the week they just wear blue and brown. The girls wear brown skirts and the boys wear blue or brown slacks and pants.
Shorts,
yeah.
And is the division of male and female about equal with the students?
I think about now.
Right now.
When the school first started, I think there was a lot more boys, but now I think it's evening out because of the work that Kwesi's been doing to sort of push more girls to go to school.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the girls are doing very well.
The girls
well.
Are owning it right
they
now.
Are.
We actually recently started a girls' soccer team.
Yeah.
Because soccer is such a huge thing in Ghana, that you'll say, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And more than half the kids will say a footballer, you know, a soccer player.
Professional footballer.
So we actually just started a girls' soccer team, which is huge. So
was that unheard of in Ghana, to have girls playing soccer?
Not unheard of, but rare.
Yeah, most of the boys go and compete with other towns and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the girls are now getting into that. They're really sort of convening and practicing and things like that, which is something that, I mean, to compete against other towns is not very common.
Right.
When do they practice if they're on one of these teams?
Anytime they can sneak out.
No. Anytime. They'll play
school,
soccer
yeah.
all day if they could. Yeah.
Okay, so
they're good.
Take us through a school day now.
Yeah.
And let's see, what time do the students arrive, and at what time do they go home, and what happens in between?
The beginning of the day, to the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
The start of school is kind of arbitrary because kids will try to get to school. Technically, we start at 8. But kids will, you know, have different transportation problems or chores that they'll need to do in the morning. So they'll get to school at different times. And so you have your morning classes, And the high schoolers and I think higher level middle schoolers will have a free period, most likely in the morning. And then they'll get to have lunch.
Yeah, so
well, what do they do in the free period?
So during the free period, when we're there, we offer reading periods, but they can also go to the library and they can do different things. So when our students are there, we do a reading period with the kids where we bring out books from the library and we do a round robin sort of circle of reading. And then we'll ask critical questions, sort of, you know, what was the main character feeling and things like that. And sort of get the kids to think about what's the moral of the story. We bring in the seven pillars, you know, what do you think the seven pillars represent in this story? Get the kids to start thinking about the content and communicating with one another and practicing their reading, because we found out actually one of my students was teaching French to the kids, and she found out that a lot of the kids can read French, but they can't speak it that well. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a problem in English as well, is that a lot of the kids can read and write almost anything, but when it comes to pronouncing certain words and speaking certain words, they don't know as well. And so practicing in the reading circles and practicing just reading in general has really allowed the students to expand and grow in terms of knowledge.
And you've mentioned the seven principles before, and so let's repeat them. Knowledge, integrity, discipline, respect, responsibility, simplicity, and hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Always in that order when they learn these principles?
Not necessarily.
No.
Yeah.
Just as long as they cover all seven.
Yeah.
And the older students teach the younger ones.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things. And I will say the school is also very unique because a lot of the neighboring schools, the practice of discipline is caning the students. And the Heritage Academy does not do that. And so when Kwesi first opened the school, he made that a rule. We will not cane any of our students.
Right.
And the parents said, no, that's crazy. How are these kids ever going to learn? And he said, just wait and see. And I promise that it'll happen. And it did. And the kids are so respectful. They're very disciplined in terms of their academics. And they respect everybody. They have integrity, everything, hard work, everything. They abide by all of the principles. And it's not necessary to introduce any sort of violence into it. So that's something special about the school for sure.
Absolutely.
Are the children coming from places? I'm thinking about infrastructure here. Now, you talked about the roads before being very basically not paved.
Right.
Is that right?
The main road that goes by the school is paved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of unusual to have a road like that.
It depends on where you are. Okay. Going to Achesu, our other campus, it is pretty much deep into the rural area of Ghana, so there's no pavement there. Mm-hmm. But the main road that goes past our main campus at Heritage is all paved.
What about the children's houses where they're living with their families? Is there electricity? Is there indoor plumbing?
It varies.
There is one student named Godsway whose father is the police chief in one of the villages, and he's like living large in Ghana, and you know, he has electricity and a bunch of chickens and goats and all of that stuff, and you know, a gated, you know, fenced in. But then also, as I was talking about my sponsor kid Fauzia, her house is two rooms and she doesn't have electricity and or running water, so it varies.
Mm-hmm,
and so to get back to the school day, just finish that up. At the end of the school day, then everybody does leave at the same time, or does that vary also?
It varies also. So we have all of our classes during the day and a break for lunch. And then after school, a lot of the kids just want to stay. So they do the bus routes by village. So they'll say, okay, all the kids who are from SEM pile into the school bus or van or trocha or whatever and go home, and then they'll do it that way. And so that gives the kids who are still around an opportunity to, you know, play soccer or hang out, read a book. There's also some after-school projects that they can do. One of the things that our students do when we're there is we work with the ninth graders and hang out with them and see, because we don't get to work with them as much, the ninth graders, because they're in strict studying for the national exams, it's a good opportunity for the ninth graders to get to, you know, hang out a little bit more and not be as serious into the school day. And then there's, you know, we do cement block building sometimes. There's a new garden that Godsway started with a couple of other
different
students.
Different Godsway.
Yeah.
But.
So, yeah, it sort of varies. There's a bunch of different activities that you can do after school.
Yeah.
Let's get back now. I mentioned way at the beginning of our program about a movie called Rise and Shine. go back to the past to build the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cooperative venture between Strawberry Mansion High School in Philadelphia and the Heritage Academy. Tell us a little bit about this movie, Robin, how this all came about.
So this film started by some students at Villanova who decided that they wanted to sort of create this film. And they traveled to Ghana, and they followed a kid who started the garden named Godsway Anderson. And they sort of did a parallel between his life as a high school student and then against a kid named Marquise who goes to Strawberry Mansion High School. And it was just a parallel between their two high school experiences.
Right, and quite a touching movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was really well done. I mean, everybody was crying, and it really does show the life of these two schools and how people can be continents apart and really have some of the same basic problems or successes or challenges. Just in general, comparing these two students' lives was amazing, and they did such a great job. It was a film class, so they just did such an amazing job producing this film. They were so proud of it, and it was just such an incredible experience to see it all unfold.
And they had a right to be proud of it. It was incredible.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that was highlighted in the film, which I love so much, was that Strawberry Mansion was supposed to be closed down as part of one of the schools in Philadelphia that was shut down. And so it follows that story a little bit too. So you can understand what are the challenges of education systems. And it follows the education system in Ghana a little bit too. How is the Heritage different from other schools? How is Strawberry Mansion different from other schools? How are they able to be successful despite community challenges, not just, you know, individual students?
We want to mention an element here that's very important, I think, for the Heritage School, Heritage Academy, and that is the Shirky Foundation. Is that the way to pronounce it?
That's actually the perfect pronunciation, the Shirky Foundation.
Shirky, well, let's spell it for people. S-C-H-O-E-R-K-E.
Yep.
Must be German. And they make the Heritage Heritage Academy possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the future, Shirky plans to support other schools to help them implement the systems that have been tried out at Heritage and have helped Heritage to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So if people would like to contribute some money to your efforts, which are very laudable, where would they go?
Yeah, so Shirky Foundation has a website, shirkyfoundation.com.
.org. Let's spell it again.
So S-C-H-O-E-R-K-E foundation.org. And so if you go on that website, there's many different ways that you can learn how to volunteer or donate. And as Jordan said, she sponsors Fazia for $100 a year. That provides a full education for a student. It provides meals for lunch. It provides transportation to school. It provides a communication between the sponsor and the student. It's really, I mean, $100, that's nothing. It's probably how much people spend on coffee a month, you know? So it's really an amazing way to sponsor a student. And there's also endowed scholarships, which are a little bit more, but it goes over all the different ways that people can donate on the website, and that's shirkyfoundation.org.
Right.
Beautiful. And it costs only $100 a year to educate a child for the whole year.
Technically $75 to educate.
You
want to
throw in some extras
year.
In there, though.
That the extra $25 goes for, you know, communication and things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we have been chatting this evening with Jordan Robbins and Lila Thompson. Thank you both very much for coming by. Would you believe our time is already up?
I know. I'm sad. Me too. Jordan and I love talking about the school. It's all we do, pretty much.
Not enough time.
That's great. And when we played some Ghanaian music before, Jordan said, it makes you sad
it
to
does.
Hear that music.
It
Why
makes
does it
me
make
sad.
You sad?
I miss it. I miss it so much.
You'll be waking up in the morning and people will be playing these songs. I mean, I remember one of the kids who worked at the house would play the same song every morning. That's all how we knew how to get up.
Oh, yeah.
Call them.
Well, thank you, dear listeners, for listening. Thank you, Elizabeth Parcells, for your work on the board.
Yeah.
Excellent. And let's listen to some more of that music from Ghana now as we go out on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
chain you and him knew what she, hey, opens you up a DJ. On chain you and him knew what she, hey, opens you up a DJ. Me feel so good. Every time I get a match, I let me rap it so cool. My party never go famous, so make it never go free. They come out now with a real big hit. I just say, auntie, you're the B.I.N.E. If I piss them, it's a boy, see, tell me any money, auntie. I just be the new clan, back out with the coming more fire. I kill this track, so I call a real medal. Because in a chalk and I clap it. Miss the time in the track and I dance and I move to the left and move to the right now. And do the zonto. Miss the force and I chalk and I clap it. Miss the time in the track and I dance and I move to the left and move to the right now. And do the zonto. 50, 60 for the girls, 17, 18 for the boys. My father shaking body, my mother shy you a lay. Everyone, they do that unto you. Everyone, they do that unto you. And see, the star as unto baby, jump up in a phone. Yeah, the star as unto baby, jump up in a phone. Yeah, the star as unto baby, jump up in a phone. Yeah, the star as unto baby, jump up in a phone. Yeah, hello, baby, baby. Nigga, you are done. You sell your more flow. I saw you dumb. Anyway, make you do. Put a nigga over dumb. For example, she dead me nanto. Me hit me dead. Be friend me uncle. Me just now want me. Me dream me mantle. My hit me be still loving nanto. I know you feeling the boy. See the way you just start to dance. Yama, you might be. But you can crane change your style. You shock, sack, kill the flow. Just take a seat, cause who knows you? Wear fresh one, new riff, I flow. So I got more beats than the best I can. I don't know the father. You shall see I end up.